You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Good morning, folks.
Morning, Dan and Danette.
Morning.
Here we are, another day, another Dan Patrick Show. If you'd like to watch, Peacock.
Peacock. I like the way you say Peacock.
If you want to listen later, download the podcast.
Download.
But right now, 3 hours live of the best sports talk on the air. Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show.
I love Dan Patrick. Oh, my God.
Home to the biggest guests and best sports talk on radio.
I love it.
One of my favorites.
Normally, home to Dan Patrick.
Hope you'll miss us.
But today, Dan and the Danettes are off.
Don't see another radio show behind my back, please.
And filling in, it's Doug Gottlieb and Jason Smith.
Good. There we go. It's good.
Broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave, this is the Dan Patrick Show.
Greetings, welcome inside Hour 2, the DP Show. Jason Smith and Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes today. Thanks to Albert Breer, who stuck around with us for a while, about a half hour, talking all the big moves in the National Football League. We'll get into Deshaun Watson. We'll get into the quarterbacks coming up in a couple of minutes, because this top five of the draft is getting extremely more interesting as the day goes on. But real quick, Doug, I wanted to get your take on this, because I'm trying to think how you're thinking about this and how I'm thinking about this, is that one of the big stories in the NFL today, the Browns could be signing Jadeveon Clowney, right? Now, he's in for another visit, and everybody's all agog. Oh, look at this. You put him opposite Myles Garrett. You're thinking Super Bowl. And while I like a lot of things the Browns did, I just keep thinking of Jadeveon Clowney kind of like I think about Sammy Watkins, is that, boy, he came into the league with such great publicity, you know, the big hit in the Outback Bowl. And he's been good throughout his career, but I look at him and I go, I don't know that he'd really be on the market like this if he was that much sought after. Someone would give him a lot of money. And while he's been okay, I don't see him as the big mover and shaker, like, oh, now suddenly Super Bowl Browns if they signed Jadeveon Clowney.
Literally one-hit wonder, right? Right. When I we think of one hit wonders, like out of music, but you know, it's like if you went back to the bowl game where he had the ferocious hit against, what was the little Michigan running back? That was the
Vincent
Michigan team.
Yeah.
Wasn't that Vincent Smith, Lloyd yeah. Carr's last game? Wasn't that was the team that lost to App State and lost to Oregon? Anyway, I believe Taylor Luan outplayed him most of the game. There's just one play where he got through. I mean, he's one of these uber talented guys. Obviously the knee injury early on in Houston hurt him, but he's just, you know, I mean, look, he priced himself out of that free agent market last year and, you know, got a flyer with Tennessee. And I'd be interesting to see what the actual dollars are, but he's going to go around and chase, you know, short term as much money as he can possibly get. And he's forever going to be a talent that's probably forever going to have a job, but never live up to the billing because he's not that guy, you know? He's not. So, look, Melvin Ingram was a better player at South Carolina. Everybody at South Carolina knows it. He was a better talent at South Carolina, and Melvin Ingram's a better player, and Melvin Ingram's been a better pro than Jadeveon Clowney. That's why he makes more money.
It's a case of where once a guy does something that's so memorable, you think that that's the guy you're getting. You know, like for everybody thought, oh, Cam Newton's going to be great with the Patriots last year. And look at this video of Cam Newton from 2014, right? Look at this play Cam Newton had with the – oh, if this is the Cam Newton the Patriots are getting. And I'm like, this is 6 years ago. This is 6 years ago. The guy hasn't been good in a long time.
He can't throw football.
You're not going to get this guy.
Yeah. No doubt. And that's a hard thing. Like, that's a hard thing for people to understand. Like, Cam Newton was available for a minimum contract for a reason. Right, Cam Newton signed a backup quarterback, and not even a good backup quarterback contract. Marcus Mariota's contract last year was better than Cam Newton's contract this year as a backup quarterback. And that doesn't mean that Marcus Mariota at his peak, whenever that was in the NFL when the Titans went to the playoffs, was as good as Cam Newton. But again, like you said, that was 6 years ago. Cam Newton's had two shoulder surgeries. He's had, you know, multiple leg surgeries. He's not the same athlete, although still a very good athlete. But the biggest thing is, like, Cam Newton can't throw. He threw for less than 100 yards. What was it, three times, four times, five times last year? Like, it was crazy. He can't throw a football. And I don't think that I don't even think the Patriots think that running it back with Cam Newton is the plan. At some point, they're going to have to get a starting quarterback, and we'll see whether it's the draft or it's Garoppolo or what their plan is. But, I think Jadeveon Clowney's much the same, you know? So we'll see. The Browns want to meet with him. We'll see if they sign him. But what does that mean? And for the Browns, like, they are in the kind of luxury item sort of deal. Like, if you can get Jadeveon Clowney on the cheap and he wants to come and reinvigorate his career alongside a nasty defensive line, God bless him. But, you know, there was a reason that the Seahawks never bit at the 20. Remember, he was doing the 20 million, no 18 million, no 17 million. He was doing, here's the real estate analogy, and this will happen to people this summer. They'll chase the market, right? The market in many areas is way, way up, right? So you're like, wait, my neighbor just sold his house for $500,000? Like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm going to list my house for $550,000 this summer because it's way up. And meanwhile, like, well, that guy has like a pool and a casita and he's got, it's all redone and it's perfect. And you're like, all right, well, my house is a little bit bigger square footage and we have a pool and it's fine. But it's like, look, the market's insane. And then you end up overpricing your house. Everybody passes on it. It sits on the market. You readjust the price. And now you end up getting way less than you. Meanwhile, your wife ends up going out and going like, well, we're going to sell our house for $550,000. I can buy a $750,000 house because we're going to have this much profit. And you get locked in and you get a contingency buy. And now you'll just take whatever for your house. You end up selling it for way less. That's what happens with Jadeveon Clowney. He chased the market last year. He got way less than he thought. Probably could have gotten more originally. And now, you know, the pickings are pretty slim. It's interesting how much J.J. Watt got early, because I think the guys that sign now are going to get far less. And then once the draft comes, anybody who's left in the free agent market is going to get pennies, because everybody gets excited about their draft picks and things. That's the answer. Youth, after the first round, they're all inexpensive anyway. They'd rather take their chance with an unproven guy they can coach than a proven guy that wants too much money for far too long.
Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes today. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Doug at Gottlieb Show. All right, now you mentioned the draft and you mentioned the Patriots, and here they are sitting at 15 and trying to get quarterbacks. We talked quarterbacks with Albert Breer a few minutes ago. I got a great NFL draft hot take for you. You ready?
Go.
Here's it. Forget about top four. Okay. You are going to see quarterbacks go 1 through 5 in the NFL draft when it's all said and done. It's going to be like a boy band. Trevor, Zach, right? Then you're going to get Mac. Then you're going to get Justin. And then you're going to get Trey. You're going to get the boy band is going to go 1 through 5 when it's all said and done. All right? Now, here's why. When you look at the draft right now, the first four, and the Falcons are sitting at number 4 going, hey, we're open for business. And granted, trying to get the Bengals to trade their pick is going to be a big deal, but teams are going to be desperate enough to get up there. Because all the teams that need quarterbacks, we know who the top 4 are going to be in some order, right? You know, the Jaguars are going to take Trevor Lawrence. The Jets are going to take Zach Wilson. Most likely the Niners are going to take Mac Jones, thanks to Chris Sims and his relationship with Kyle Shanahan. Then the Falcons will either, hey, we can draft Matt Ryan's successor, or more likely move out because someone will want to move up. The Broncos really need a quarterback. They most likely will try to move up because 9-4 is not that big a deal. And then you'll see a team like the Patriots get up to 5 for Trey Lance, because it's almost like you have to look at the draft as if, all right, the first pick of the draft is really going to be at 5, right? Because those quarterbacks are going to go 1 through 4 in some order. So now you're talking about the first pick of the draft really being at 5. And there's one quarterback there that everybody seems to generally love, and that's Trey Lance. Anybody else, you are trying to look for value in the second round or third round. So when you think of the draft that way, it's almost like if you're picking 5th, you have the first pick in the draft because there's a guy there that people are going to want to get. And do you really think that Trey Lance is going to go much past that? He's not. And so a team that's going to want to get him is going to move up to 5 and get it. So you're going to see those quarterbacks go 1 through 5, and then you're going to see the skill position guys, Devontae Smith, Waddle, all those guys. Then they'll all start coming off the board.
It's fascinating. It's because the magic to drafting the quarterback is not just in the idea of their talent and solving your problems. The magic is because of the money they make now. The second and third and fourth year, you can build an entire team around them, right? So that even if they're not the guy, you can go and play the game again. You can go and pick up a free agent, try and rehabilitate a guy. Like, okay, here's a question. Colts or Bears, who has been better the last 3 years? What's a better run organization? What's a better team?
I would say right now it's the Colts. I would say for the past 3 years, because the Bears have been to the playoffs, I would say the Bears. Right now, I'd rather be the Colts, but I would say the Bears have been.
What if I told you, okay, so did the Mitchell Trubisky experiment work?
It worked to an extent where they were able to succeed and get to the playoffs.
You're too smart. But it works better on somebody who doesn't know sports. Would you stop? Would you stop? You're supposed to answer the classic sports guy. The Bears suck.
Oh, hang on. Ask me again. I'll do it.
Ryan
I'll do it
Pace
for you. Trust
is an
me.
Idiot. No,
I got a great one for you.
You're
ask me again. I'll do it for you.
No, look.
Ask me
they
again.
Have the
I
same.
Got it.
Hey, wait. They have the same record. They both in the playoffs. I don't think the Colts have won their division. I know the Bears have won their division once. Okay. And oh yeah, by the way, the Colts have won a playoff game. The Bears, if not for the double doink, will go to a playoff game. They're the same. And if you want to sit there and go like, well, you know, the Colts are better off now because they have Carson Wentz, like, maybe. I think Carson Wentz could still be really, really good, but he was really bad last year. Granted, now he's got a great offensive line. I think a better offensive coach. I get it. But, like, it's really interesting that and why did it happen? Because Mitch Trubisky doesn't make any money, so you can go out and trade for Khalil Mack, and you got a superstar. And they've been able to – they have really good pieces on defense because a quarterback doesn't make much money. Now he wasn't any good, and now he's a backup. And, again, you start to figure out what the next step is. But if the object is to be a good football team, you got to have a whole team. You're not going to do it with a guy. Like, even the Cowboys. The Cowboys have I don't think Dak's worth the money that he's paid, but he's a good quarterback. Like, Amari Cooper's a good wide receiver. Ezekiel Elliott's a good running back. The offensive line's good. It's not as good as the reputation. They've been banged up, but it's still very good. Why aren't they any good? Well, offensive line issues at times, right? And, oh, yeah, by the way, the defense stinks. And as you know, no matter how, I don't care how many points the offense is, one, they didn't score early in games last year. Like, people are like, well, they didn't win because Dak was hurt. They weren't winning when Dak was healthy, just so we're aware. But the point is, they don't have an overall good football team. They have really good pieces. And you win having a really good football team. That's generally, like, why were the Niners awesome in the Super Bowl? The quarterback's Jimmy Garoppolo. He's okay. But they drafted well. They drafted high. Garoppolo got hurt the year before, so they got Nick Bosa at 2, who's the best player in the Super Bowl. I mean, that's the truth. But they had a stud, stellar roster that can carry you, and they're well coached. So I think that the common misconception is that it's just about the quarterback. If the quarterback is good and young and solid and works, awesome. But it also allows you to pay a guy $8 or $9 million, whereas the teams with the superstar or even the lesser, those they're paying $30-40 million. All that money gets spread around and you build a better roster. That's why I think you have a chance to be right. I don't think it'll be the top five, but you have a chance to be very, very right on this one. I've thought that same thought, but you can get the patent on it.
It doesn't matter because Ryan Pace stinks, and I can't believe we're bringing back Andy Dalton, and we got to go out on social media and tell him he's our number one guy. We got to have this big press conference and this big whole tournament, like we're a rock band going on tour going, Andy Dalton's our guy. This stinks. I hate football. Was that better?
That was very good.
Was that a better Bears
one? You're good at what you do. That's very good. That's Jason Smith, by the way.
Thank you.
You can listen to him and Mike Harmon every evening right here on Fox Sports Radio, hundreds of affiliates nationwide. You know,
really I've good. Been working. I've had a Sipowicz impression for a long time. So that's kind of where I draw it from.
Sipowicz. Yeah. Very, very
I draw
nice.
It from Sipowicz. Yeah.
We're
he's
in a
Chicago
mind,
accent in New Yorker. Yeah. That's what's going on. Yes. No, look, the reason I think is because it's kind of like the philosophy of if you pick 33rd in the NFL draft, right? You have that first pick of the second round. That's really valuable, right? Because after the dust settles, it's boy, I can't believe player X is there. We didn't know that he would still be there. Boy, moving up to the top of the second round really isn't that big a deal. So, hey, let's get up there and get that second. Meanwhile, it's the 33rd overall pick. The same thing I think applies here is that, boy, here's the fifth pick. But when you have five quarterbacks that people want, where else are you going to get a guy? Right? Like if you're Denver right now, if you're New England, what are you going to do? you know, unless you make a move up to get one of these guys, you're talking about a season where, okay, we're just going to kind of throw guys out there and see if we can get by and trying to win this year. And that's a really tough message to sell and to say that this is we're all ready to go and all the things we tried to do, well, we couldn't really accomplish them. So we're going to go with Cam Newton. And we're going to draft a guy in the third round and try to bring him along. Or if you're the Broncos, it's, well, Drew Lock maybe will be good. We'll give him another chance. Oh, come on. You can't do that. When we get closer to the draft, the intensity of the heightening expectations always take over to where a guy could be a pretty good player now, but by the time you get to the draft, he's someone everybody has to have, and the quarterbacks are rising. Right. You know, I mean, of all the positions, you know, we don't see teams saying, hey, we got to get Devontae Smith. I mean, this guy's a Heisman Trophy winner. Maybe he goes at 15 or 14. The quarterbacks are the risers. And when it comes to that, you get to that phonetic feeding frenzy. When you get to the draft, teams are going to move up. Denver, I expect to move up any day and say, okay, the Falcons are open for business. We're the only team that needs a quarterback. We're not moving up that much. This is what we're going to do. And then it's going to be a creative team like, well, the Bengals trade with the Patriots? Sure, I'm sure they'll do something like that. Or, you know, that's where Bill Belichick knows, I have to go up and get my guy. Or there's a couple other teams that could say, all right, we got to go up because Trey Lance, we didn't think he'd be there. Or we thought maybe he'd be there, but now there's no way because the first four picks are going to be quarterbacks. Now, if you want him, you got to get up that high to get him.
Who would the fifth team be? Patriots. I agree. Denver has to have a quarterback. I know some people there. I've been told some other that they're done with the Drew Lock thing. There's just lots of little things, and he's not that good that they're done with the Drew Lock thing. So the question is, outside of Denver, I guess would New England, like New England has always been rumored to like, oh man, I heard they really want Lamar Jackson. Oh man, I really heard they want. Remember Lamar Jackson was like New England. I think Justin Fields feels like their type of guy. If Cam Newton's going to be the starter to start the year, right? And then they're like, hey, how about we get somebody who plays like Cam Newton, only can actually throw a football? Then we do the Justin Fields thing eventually. So yeah, I'm with you. I think there's a chance, but I also think there's a chance that just kind of organically guys start going like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. We'll take Penny Sewell. We'll take what's the X-Men character who played tight end for Florida?
Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, Kyle Pitts. He's not a real human being, by the way. He's an X-Men. Like, you're not 6'6", 240 pounds, running a 4'4". Like, come on. He's at what's the X-Men cave? What's that mansion they live in called? Like, X-Men Manor?
The Professor Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters.
That's actually, I believe that's where he went to high school.
Okay.
I believe that's where Kyle Pitts went to high school. Like, he's an X-Men character. Like, there's no other explanation for some of these guys. I think there's also the chance that, like, in the old days, like, a guy actually falls to 10, right? Mm. Falls to 15. And, you know, you gobble them up. Man, like, look, Aaron Rodgers fell to, what, 24? Like, that just sounds crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy that it wasn't just that San Francisco misevaluated and took Alex Smith, a good quarterback, ahead of one of the, or maybe the best I've ever seen play the position. It's that 22 other teams also said, like, yeah, we're good. Like, really? Like, okay. And I don't know if Aaron Rodgers would be Aaron Rodgers if he didn't sit and continue to refine his game in Green Bay, which is reasonable thought. But I don't think what you're saying is crazy. I just don't think it'll happen because it hasn't happened yet. There.
I like your X-Men take with Kyle Pitts. I dig that. I kind of like that. He would be a really great superhero.
Sure. Totally.
He would be great.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, see, he's where I think the Cowboys need to do it. Because, right, we had that report at the end of last week that Jerry Jones was loving Kyle Pitts and was all in on him. And the reports came out, oh, but the Cowboys, their defense is terrible. And you got to draft you got to get Patrick Surtain the second or something like that. And I'm like, if you take Kyle Pitts, you turn that offense into an unstoppable offense. I mean, you have playmakers everywhere, right? You have Dak coming back. You have Michael Gallup. You have Amari Cooper. You go, by the way, CeeDee Lamb had a terrific rookie year. You know, your offensive line, as long as they're healthy, they'll be really good. Ezekiel Elliott. You have playmakers everywhere, and a guy that how are you going to stop him in the middle of the field? The guy, he could be the next Tony Gonzalez or Antonio Gates. I would much rather have that guy and say, good luck stopping our offense, and saying, hey, we got a really good cornerback, right? And that's going to help our defense. Now, you could coach up the defense. offense and draft later, and all you got to do is bring the defense up from bottom five to, like 18 or 19th best in the National Football League. And you have an offense like that, you would be absolutely unstoppable. There's nobody that could match the playmakers the Cowboys would have. So you said, dropping down to 10, if Kyle Pitts is there at 10, absolutely Cowboys should go get him.
Yeah, I mean, did you know their offensive line was ranked 27th worst in the league? I know they had injury. They're not the same as the reputation. So, I mean, that's the big thing. Collins is still very good. Martin, Tyron Smith. Tyron's just not, like, 3 years ago, he was the best in the sport. But this is a little bit like he's not where Cam Newton is, but they're not the same. I agree with you, Kyle Pitts would be hard. That would be the most Dallas Cowboys pick ever, right? We need defense, so we'll go get the most freaky tight end we can find, right? We need defense, so let's go. This would be 2 years in a row. And, there wasn't anything bad about their offense talent-wise last year, right? Tell me something bad about their offense. I mean, yeah, the running back's overpaid. Okay, the wide receiver's overpaid. Okay, they have plenty of talent. They still weren't great, remember, they had to come back against the Falcons to pull off a miracle victory, and the Falcons stunk last year, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and the Cowboys didn't score early. So I understand what you're saying, but and here's the other part. If you're going to rebuild their defense, and I know that most of free agent money has been spent on the defense, I understand, and they've changed schemes to one that fits the personnel better. But you tell me a team that's won a Super Bowl without a top 10 defense. They don't exist.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Doug at Gottlieb Show, Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes. Hey, where other fans stop short, Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond. From their customization options and cutting-edge tech to their five-star sales, service, and financial support crew, Mercedes-Benz vans are built, equipped, and engineered to be ready for anything. So go the extra mile by taking that all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. We'll have more NFL on the way, but coming up next, are things now okay for the Lakers following their big win this weekend over the Nets? Now we have a timetable for LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Is Kyrie Irving going to take time off every single week now, apparently? All the big NBA news from the weekend tonight on coming up next right here, Fox.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Dan Patrick Show, Jason Smith and Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes today. And look, clearly over the weekend in the NBA, there was one big marquee game that everybody wants to break down, and it's either the greatest thing in the world and it's really awful for the other team. But we saw the Lakers, no superstars, beat the Nets, 1.5 superstars, with Kyrie Irving getting tossed. And suddenly things are looking okay for L.A., right? We got the news late last night that Anthony Davis is going to come back in 2 weeks, and LeBron is probably 3 weeks away. So here are the Lakers. They're kind of holding steady in the West, and while they're dropping slowly, it's not sinking like a stone like they could have been. They're sitting in the fifth spot right now. It's still a couple of games ahead of the Blazers. Doug, are you buying that things are going to be okay now for L.A. now that, hey, they've been able to win a few games even without both of them, and then, hey, a couple weeks, 3 weeks, they should be back at full strength?
What does they'll be okay mean?
They will avoid the play-in games from 7 through 10 in the first round of the playoffs.
Yes, I think they – yes, if that's your definition of okay, does that mean they'll be the favorite to come out of the West? I think they'll be the favorite because I think it'll be easy to go, like, my default is to bet on LeBron James, but and Anthony Davis and two superstars combining. But I think it's a dangerous bet to take. It feels like a sucker bet. Like, look, this is the real, this is the difference between the East where he played and the West. And no one, like, it's comical, the LeBron sycophants who won't admit that the East was an easy path. Like, oh, well, look what LeBron did that 1 year when he had nobody around him and Booby Gibson. Like, he was great. He had, 25 straight points against the Pistons. But, like, there's all kinds of outlier 1 year wonders out of the East, right? Allen Iverson did it a year. the Orlando Magic with Dwight Howard did it for a year. Like, you kind of go through, there's always, why? Because the East has been bad. And then when he was in Miami, he took the best player from the Raptors and the best player from the Heat and the best player from the Cavs, who were the best team in the East. And then eventually they took the second or third best player and the best shooter in the league from the Celtics, and they formed a super team. And of course, they dominated the East. That was not only never really that good, but also they pulled out the chairs from other teams that were good. Now you're in the West, and I don't know if Utah is purely better or if it's a tough matchup for them. Denver can't really defend, although, man, they scored what? They went and gave up a 31-3 run yesterday to the Celtics, and they scored 8 points in the fourth quarter. But I think they're a tough matchup. I think Utah's a tough matchup. I think Portland, if they're healthy, is a tough matchup. I think what the Lakers run the risk of is the attrition of the West. It doesn't mean that Portland can beat them four times, but if Portland beats them twice or three times, right? Three times, and it goes to seven. Let's say they beat them twice. It goes six. He goes six, six, and now all of a sudden you face Utah in the finals. You're worn down, and I don't know what, no one knows what Anthony Davis is going to look like. He was out for a long time. He's not the fitness guy that LeBron is, right? And as tremendous as LeBron is, he's every year he's not going to be the same guy capable of carrying you. And we don't know what Dennis Schroeder looks like in a big-time playoff matchup. Do I think on paper they should be really good and they should be great defensively with Andre Drummond? Absolutely. But again, that's on paper, and I wonder about the offense and how it looks with so many pieces that haven't played that much together and haven't played together for a couple months.
See, I look at the flip side of this and say, as long as they can stay in sixth, right? That's what I think Laker fans would do. Look, hey, if we can stay in sixth and avoid that one game where, hey, we happen to play against Steph and he scores 55 and we lose and we're out. You know, you want to avoid that. But if you can stay in sixth, I don't know that it matters where you finish in the Western Conference, because 1 through 6, they're all going to be really good. It matters a lot in the East because, look, the top three teams and then there's everybody else, right? The Sixers and the Nets, the Bucks have been playing really well. They've been seeming to have figured things out a bit. And then you get the drop off to the Hawks and the Heat and the Hornets and the Celtics. And that, you know. But in the West, it's, you don't really need to finish high because, okay, oh, we want to avoid, you know, you want to finish first. You want to avoid, you know, we want teams 2-3 to play each other. I don't know that it matters where you finish, because you're going to play somebody who's good anywhere, and no one's really going to have a pass once you get outside of, okay, the teams that are playing in for 7 and 8. 1 through 6 can be pretty much interchangeable once you hit the playoffs, because, you know, for the Lakers, you can say, all right, have they been as good as the Jazz this year? No, the Jazz look like they're coming, and boy, they're terrific, but the Lakers' playoff experience and having LeBron and AD is going to be the great equalizer. I don't know that it really matters where you, so as long as you do finish in the top six, I think for any of these teams, okay, it's going to be a tough road. We're going to have a couple of really tough rounds. It's going to be that war of attrition, but, you know, trying to finish higher and going, boy, we got to get higher in the conference. I don't know that that's worth it. And I need to do that.
No, I it's going to come down to matchups, but I don't think they want to play that they don't want to be that play-in game. Like that is, you don't want the randomness of one game, you know, you just don't. Like that's a big thing in the NBA. You don't want that one play on game, because have we seen in college basketball, like a Abilene Christian can pull off an upset on one given night, things that go bump in the night, you're going to lose a game. So I generally, and like as of right now, there's no real home court advantage. Now, by the time we get to the playoffs, will everything be fully opened up? Will Utah be able to have all their fans? It's a possibility. Will Denver be able to have all their fans? It's a possibility. Portland, it's not likely because it's Oregon, but a possibility. So I don't, and there's also a mentality now in the NBA where, like, look, it's home court advantage, but one game, all we have to do is win one road game and that thing flips on them. Still, you want game 7 at home. You just do. And the Lakers probably aren't going to get that when they play the better teams.
Jason Smith and Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes. All right, so now the flip side of this is the Nets, right? They come to this weekend. They lose a game where they had both superstars. Kyrie Irving gets thrown out. So does Dennis Schroeder. Kyrie Irving's not playing tonight for personal reasons. And, you know, you see this, and I say to myself, are the big three ever going to play a game together? I mean, is it ever really going? Or is there some kind of schedule we don't know about with the Nets where they go, okay, we just got to have two guys every game because, you know, KD needs some time off and Kyrie needs some time off. So we're just going to try to get two guys every single game all the way through till the end.
Yeah, look, I think they're going to be a problem when they get back. Do I think there's still some chemistry stuff because they haven't played together that much? I do. And obviously everybody is like, can they guard anybody? But they'll be okay. That dog will hunt. And unlike the Lakers, I think there's a playoff series or two that the Nets can use to continue to build their chemistry. So I'm with you. It's like, dude, when are you guys going to actually play a basketball game on the same basketball team? Wouldn't that be just the most amazing thing? It hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, because I don't know that their next big game isn't going to be until the Eastern Conference Finals. Right? Because as the season goes on, no matter who they have, right, we've seen their regular season good. Right, that's the Nets. They have proven they are regular season where they can show up every two nights and just steamroll a team and score 130 points, whether they have Harden and Kyrie, whether they have KD, whether they have just one star. You know, they figured that part out. So I look at it as they're probably going to finish first in the East because they'll win more games than the Sixers. The Sixers have been playing really well, but the Nets have really been coming on a little bit stronger. So I expect them to have it. And if that's the case, I mean, they're not going to have any trouble until you get to the East Finals. So as much issues they have to figure out and defensively is going to be a big thing once you get to that round in the playoffs. But I don't think they're going to really sweat until that point. So as much as you really want them to play a little bit together, they kind of have all that time because that's when I say, okay, that's when I can really start paying attention to, hey, can the Nets achieve? We get to the Eastern Conference Finals and now it gets serious for them.
Yep. No, I think how you're looking at it is a very your brain is firing on all cylinders this morning, and we're finding ways to completely agree with one another. It's just it's a different landscape, East versus West, and a different kind of build. Are there questions about Nash and what they'll do in playoff? Yes, and we have no idea. Kyrie Irving is just as likely to not play a playoff. Like, he's just one of these guys like, not feeling tonight. I'm not going to play, guys, right? Like, the Kyrie thing is fascinating because he's incredibly talented, like remarkably talented. And I think he wants to take on this persona of some sort of artiste of the game of basketball where, look, I can just explain away like I'm an artist and people go like, okay, right? Like if I walk outside of my house and I'm wearing plaid pants and a striped shirt and, horn rimmed glasses and a hat, and and bright orange sneakers, they would think it was a goof, right? But if I said, hey, I'm an artist, you'd be like, oh, okay, well, he's an artist, right? That's Kyrie. But it's not out of the realm of possibility that Kyrie Irving, it's Game 6 of the playoffs, and he's like, yeah, I don't feel connected. I don't feel connected with, this is, my horoscope said today is not a good day, so I'm gonna think about it, I'm gonna meditate about it, and I may show up for the game, or I may not show up for the game. And you'd be sitting there in the locker room going like, is he coming? Is he coming? I don't know. Did he text you? He didn't text me. He doesn't use his phone when he sees his shaman. Like, I don't, that's an element to it, which, like, James Harden's only won in the playoff, got to the finals once when he was in Oklahoma City. I love how he's playing, but, I mean, I'm playing defense. Kyrie doesn't take defensive assignments properly. Kevin Durant looks like the real deal, but does he get frustrated with those other guys? Do they have enough defense kind of around them, all those things? But to me, the number one question is not them playing together. It's, is Kyrie going to feel like playing, feel whole, and feel connected with the universe on the proper days in the playoffs? And that we have no answer for.
No, and that's the maddening part about him. That's absolutely maddening about him is you can see how crazy talented he is and how he can take over games still with, with a team with three superstars. And then you find, oh, he's not going to play. He's going to take a few days off. He's going to do this. It's, wow, you know, can it's almost like having a player who's talented but is injured a lot, because you never know when is he going to be around for the playoffs, right? Like Dallas went all in on Kristaps Porzingis, and Porzingis is talented. He's a good number two to Luka Doncic, but you never know if he's going to be around because he could get injured all the time, because that's what happens to him. It's almost like the same thing with Kyrie. You have to look at it as, boy, he's terrific, but we don't know when we're going to have him. And it's really hard to say, okay, I feel good about where we're going to be and making these plans going forward, knowing that he could be great for us. He could also say, I can't play in game six. I mean, that is a maddening deal that you make when you have Kyrie Irving on your team. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Doug at Gottlieb Show, Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes today. Well, coming up next, the replay from last night in sports that has everybody talking. Boy, was this blown. Or was it? It's coming up next right here. Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan Patrick. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Dan Patrick Show, Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes today. And the replay that has everybody talking this morning, coming off of yesterday's game between the Braves and the Phillies. Phillies beat the Braves 7-6, but you've probably seen this replay now 100 times, where Phillies third baseman Alec Bohm slides home with the eventual winning run. Travis d'Arnaud, Braves catcher, attempts to apply the tag, comes over from the third base side to try to give a sweep tag, and Bohm is called safe, even though replays show that he never touched home plate. They go back and look at it on replay. Replay says, we couldn't confirm that he didn't touch the plate. So the run stands. The Phillies win the game. And here is Braves starter Drew unhappy with
it. It's a shame to end a game like that. It's, you know, in real time, it's obviously bang, bang. Lance is right there in position, making the best call he can. But then we have five different angles on a national televised game, and it's clear that his foot didn't touch the plate, that it was on the chalk. Everyone saw it and sees it, you know, everyone knows it. And for MLB not to overturn that, it's embarrassing, you know. Why even have replay if you won't overturn that? So that's the way I feel about it. I think everybody feels that way.
It's a hard one, right? Because we don't have an explanation from MLB as to why it wasn't. I understand the idea of being inconclusive. I've seen the replay. It appears pretty conclusive that his foot did the old bounce skip. The only thing I can think of is, did he block the plate, right? And this is a way of, because remember, they want to take away the collisions at the plate. And if you watch his right knee, it gets into the old blocking the plate. Blocking the baseline, is that why they wanted to even it up? That's why he couldn't touch home. And the best way to do it is to go like, inconclusive. That's the only thing I can possibly think of, because I'm looking at the replay and he appears to be out because he doesn't touch home plate. Like, it's the Matt Holliday play, only with much better replay.
He still hasn't touched home plate all these years later. No, I think if that was the case, they would have said that in their explanation after. Like, we would have gotten that from a pool reporter, right? Where all we get all the big umpire quotes from a pool reporter. They would have said, oh, d'Arnaud was blocking the plate, and that was part of the reason why they called him safe. But we didn't get that. You know, the one I look at is say, boy, for some reason they couldn't tell if maybe he didn't drag his toe across the plate coming off. When clearly, I look at it and go, you would have seen something. You would have seen him been able to touch the plate, and he didn't do it. It's baffling to me how inconsistent replay is still across sports, but in baseball more so than any other. Because you get replays in the NBA, and it's pretty, okay, where was his foot? It's kind of cut and dry. Who was the ball off right here? You could see it's off his fingertips. And generally, they get those calls right. The NFL, you could always say, oh, it's a judgment call here. But with baseball, it's like, okay, sometimes stuff comes back, and it's, all right, yes, they got it. This is great. We're moving forward. And I go, And sometimes it's a play like this, and I go, what are they really looking at? Like it, why is there such a wide swath of what is overturnable and what's not in Major League Baseball? That's where I think the big question is. Not do we need replay? I love having replay. Why would you not want to have the technology to get things right if you can? Right? I mean that's a big thing. Why would you not want to have it? You have it, we can do it. But it's the inconsistency. Like, is it certain people are, you know, they're in charge of certain games, they act one way, right? Like, it's like you're almost having other officials that this official likes to call holding all the time, so you got to be careful for that, right? Jerome Boger's crew is always going to look out for this. Like, are there people that are watching the games where, hey, if so-and-so is watching this game, he's not going to overturn as much because if he can't see something, it's going to be more conclusive? That's where I really get into this and go, I know it's kind of getting deep in, but that's my explanation for, hey, why do we get stuff that's so inconsistent?
Why? I don't understand.
Like, is it just, I don't think that everybody is dealing with the same set of rules when you are overlooking a baseball game and you are looking at stuff for replay and review. It's too inconsistent where, hey, look, you see this play right here. He doesn't touch the plate. It goes over it. But there are replay officials who are more hesitant to overrule plays for whatever reason, when it should be the same criteria for everybody. Listen, if you see this, this is what it is. And if you overrule it, you overrule it. And some people and some replay reviewers don't subscribe to that. And they kind of put their own spin on things. And something that's more cut and dried should be, did he touch the plate, did he not, becomes much more of a gray area.
Yeah. Okay. I'll buy it. I think, look, there's this, let me use the kind of the basketball analogy, right? The basketball analogy is sometimes you miss a foul. Like, officials will do this, like, they'll miss a foul and they'll point in the direction of a guy who touched the ball last, and they'll simply do so because they know they missed the foul, but replay won't give them the foul. It's the only thing I can think of as an explanation here, because again, it seems, I mean, does anybody have an argument? Is there any replay angle at all that shows him touching the plate? I've seen a bunch of angles. I haven't seen one that shows, right there, he might have grazed. Like, there's nothing. I'm not saying it's not close, but if you watch the replay, you'd be like, yeah, he missed on plate. He's out.
If there was a way to, what I would like to see, right? We always talk about, can I see a 30 for 30? Can I see this? I would like to see an in-depth show go into a following a replay official for a game in each sport, right? We're going to follow the replay official for this NFL game, and we're going to show you exactly what they go through and what they look for and why decisions are made. And I want to see how the different sports compare. Like, how it compares from NFL to the NBA to Major League Baseball. And then I think we'd kind of get some answers on if it. Now, I don't know if anybody would ever okay to that, say, yes, we'll open up, you know, let you peek behind the curtain for that. But that's something I'd really like to see, and see the disparity and the differences between the different sports.
I like that. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I come up with ideas, Doug. I'm an idea guy.
What's the character in what's the John Travolta movie where he has the brain tumor and all of a sudden now he has all these ideas on things? He reads books like in a second. Oh, what is that movie?
Phenomenon.
Phenomenon. What's his character? Do you remember his character in Phenomenon? Anyway, remember he's in the bar and he's like, "Look, here's how you should do your the mail delivery faster, et cetera." So that's who you are. You're Phenomenon.
Thank you, Doug. I appreciate that. Coming up next, hey, the biggest sports event of the weekend is next. Fox.